WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Lindy Boggs came to Washington in 1941, the year her husband, Hale Boggs, was elected Democratic congressman from Louisiana. 21 years later, on a campaign trip through Alaska, Hale Boggs' plane disappeared, never to be found. Lindy Boggs ran for her late husband's seat and won. She remained in Congress through 1990. Politics has been the family business. Boggs' late daughter Barbara was the mayor of Princeton. Daughter Cokie Roberts is a well-known congressional correspondent and political commentator. Son Tommy is an influential lobbyist. Lindy Boggs has written a memoir about her 50 years in political life called Washington Through a Purple Veil. She told me what Louisiana politics were like when her husband started his political career.
When Hale entered politics, it was a couple of years before 1941, and he entered full force as the chairman of a group of young people called the People's League. And we had formed a league of young people because there was a great deal of difficulty in our state. Our governor had gone to jail, and the president of our state university had gone to jail. Several other politicians and businessmen of fine repute had all gone to jail. And it was really more or less up to the young people to be able to throw the rascals out and try to right the wrongs. And that's what we did in collaboration with a great many other groups.
How did you see your role as a congressman's wife when you first got to Washington?
Well, when we first went to Washington, there was a very structured social society. The social agenda, you had to call upon the people who were senior to your husband. And when your husband was a freshman member of the House, that was a great number of people. And there were very strict rules. There were calling days. You called on the spouses of the Supreme Court on Monday, the House of Representatives on Tuesday, the Cabinet on Wednesday, the Senate on Thursday, the Diplomatic Corps on Friday. You made no calls on Saturday, and you may return calls made to you accompanied by your husband on Sundays. So we never made any calls on Sundays.
When did it stop being that way?
After it was suspended during World War II, of course. And following the war, it was followed somewhat. But the government became so constant and so large that it was really an impossible situation to have a strict protocol as had existed prior to the war.
How did you see your role in your husband's career when he was a congressman in terms of issues versus entertaining? How much did you want to be involved with issues, and how much did you want to, you know, throw dinners and set the social agenda?
Well, when you're from Louisiana, the only thing you can say about entertaining and having meals is, thank God I'm not the wife of the French ambassador, because everybody expects you to have marvelous meals. I greatly, of course, enjoyed the entertaining and learned through the years to be able to entertain more and more people at the insistence of Hale's gregarious attitudes. But I was very involved in the issues. We had come up together as young protesters, and were very involved. The book that I've written about Washington Through a Purple Veil is so titled because of Hale's insistence that I be involved in issues. As I said earlier, we were a generation that was really more or less an isolationist generation, and his committee was considering the Lend-Lease Act, which was actually the United States' first official act into the warlike stance. And he asked me to come down to listen to the testimony because he was being convinced that it was something that was absolutely necessary, that the United States had to assume its responsibility in the family of nations, and that we had no alternative. But he wanted me to understand it from the testimony of the people who were the experts, so that it was a partnership that had been formed when we were very young. We'd edited the college newspaper together. Of course, he was editor-in-chief. I was only the woman's editor. But that was the highest place that a woman could aspire to at the time. And I was very involved in issues, always.
Lindy Boggs is my guest. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Lindy Boggs. Her new memoir about her 50 years in political life is called Washington Through a Purple Veil. When your children were young, how did you deal with all the work that you had to do and your responsibilities with raising the children?
Well, the children were invited into politics at the rate that they wished to participate. And sometimes they wished to participate fully, sometimes they didn't wish to participate in various activities. And we respected their desires. Mostly they enjoyed the fray. I tried to protect them from the unkind remarks and difficulties of that other people heaped upon their father, and thought that I was doing it very successfully. Came home one day and found them sitting in front of the radio screaming back at it. they were listening to to it all along. But they came out of the experience all feeling an obligation to work in some regard in politics, and that makes me feel very comfortable about the way we reared them.
Did you have any role models in your life about how to divide time between work and mothering?
Well, I had many role models, but most specifically I had my grandmothers, my mother, and my aunts. And Hale's mother was a great role model as well. But I was reared in the country and on plantations. And a plantation was a totally autonomous operation, and the person who was the mistress of the house had to really have everything in place within the household and its peripheral activities by a large noontime meal. And it was astonishing to see the type of a very good discipline and organizational skills that went into that endeavor. And then, of course, they had to organize all of their own cultural activities. To see them organize this full day, and then when the time demanded it, to be head of a Red Cross drive, to prepare for all the people who were stranded in a flood. I learned a great deal about being able to organize your day around family and around cultural activities and around the public demands that someone who had training and experience should exert.
My guest is Lindy Boggs. She's written a new memoir called Washington Through a Purple Veil, and it's about her life as the wife of Hale Boggs, a former congressman from Louisiana, and then her life as a congressperson herself. I want to jump ahead to 1972, when your husband was on a campaign swing through Alaska and his plane disappeared, and neither he nor the plane were ever found. Your whole family went to Alaska shortly after he was declared missing. What was it like for you to go there, and what were you able to do?
Well, we were invited to go, which was a tremendous relief. And
why was that a relief?
Because you could go to the scene and be there and feel that if there was any way that you could be helpful, that you were on the scene and able to do so. And in addition, it gave us the first-hand knowledge, gave our family the first-hand knowledge of the remarkable kind of search that, was launched and pursued. And we would never have known the extent of it, nor would we have known the graciousness and interest with which it was conducted, unless we'd been on the scene and had the daily briefings and been with the people. The Air Force had charge of it from Elmendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage, and the Coast Guard had charge of it from Juneau. And we would have briefings a couple of times a day. We also would have the wonderful pilots who would come off of the flights and take my hands in theirs and say, "Don't you worry, we're going to find him for you." And it was, and we were there, of course, with the news briefings, and so that it was a tremendous consolation.
You've never really found out anything about what happened, right?
No, the only thing that that can be assumed is that the plane went down and in the water somewhere. They did find a plane that had gone down in World War II that had never been found previously. It was an enormous search, and our nation used everything at its command in order to conduct it. And the maps of Alaska were redrawn from the photographs that were taken in the search.
Do you hold out any hope that someday you'll find out what happened, the plane will be found?
I'm not sure. There was a time when that would have been very consoling to me, but I've learned to live with the situation as it exists. And I suppose I like feeling that it was sudden and it was not physically difficult, and that, you know, they just went on to a happier horizon.
Lindy Boggs is my guest. More in a minute. This is Fresh Air. My guest Lindy Boggs has written a political memoir about her life as a congressman's wife, then as a member of Congress, called Washington Through a Purple Veil. How did you decide to run for your husband's seat?
I had been, pushed is probably a good word, by several friends and several different groups. So there were a couple of months in there where I had people asking me to run, and my stock answer was that we had a congressman, and when we found him, he was going to ask us what took us so long. There was a time of having to face the fact that he was truly gone when there had to be an election for the majority leader. And Tip O'Neill had been the majority whip, and he very graciously called me to find out if it would in any way upset my feelings if he entered the race for the majority leadership. And of course, I told him, "Oh, no, Tip, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all, because you're the one person I know who'd give it up to him when he comes back." But that was the time I had to face the fact that we had to get on with another election.
When you decided to run for your husband's seat, did you still hold out any hope that he would be discovered, he would be found?
Yes, I did. I continued to hold out hope for a long time.
Was there a time when you knew that you'd stopped hoping?
Actually, I think that it was, not that I'd given up hope, I suppose, but that I had come to perhaps a practical realization. I was a delegate to a World Bank International Monetary Fund meeting in Kenya, in Nairobi, and I had accompanied Hale on several trips of that sort and had been backup for him and helped him with his testimony and things so on. But here I was a delegate, and I had the responsibility for making decisions with the United States group. And I think that perhaps that was when the full realization came upon me.
That you had this burden on your shoulders.
That I was really, I wasn't a stand-in for Hale, mm-hmm. that I was the member myself.
When I interviewed Koki, I asked her if she thought that you changed a lot when you became a member of Congress yourself, and she said something to the effect that you were always a very strong-centered person, and she didn't think you changed in any fundamental way, but she thought what was most difficult for you was was voting. Because when your husband voted, you would often have the job of smoothing things over. And then when you were voting yourself, you know, who is going to do that? You had to take a stand. And I guess you didn't have the wife to smooth it over for you.
Well, you know, Lady Bird called me and tried to persuade me to run. And when she thought she had, she said, "Darling, you think you can do it without a wife?" but Koki and Barbara were both very, my daughter Barbara, were both very strong in their counseling of me in this regard. And they said, "Mind, you have to realize the hardest thing you're going to discover is that on the floor of the house there's no maybe button. you have to push the button, yay or nay," and they were correct. That was the hardest part of my job.
During some of your time in Congress, your daughter Koki was covering Congress. Your son-in-law Steve Roberts was covering Congress for the New York Times, and then he wrote about Washington for U.S. News and World Report. Was it awkward for you to have two of your family members covering Congress?
No, because we had a very good relationship, professional relationship, and still kept our loving family relationship. Once someone asked Koki what she liked best about her job, she says, "Giggling with her mother in the speaker's lobby." But they didn't feature me, and I didn't give them any scoops.
You announced your retirement from Congress in July of 1990 because your daughter Barbara had cancer and you wanted to spend time with her. And she died just a few months later. So after you retired, you never really got the time with her that you wanted. Tell me about what it was like to retire, and to retire at a time when you had suffered this terrible loss.
Well, actually, I made the decision to retire, hoping that I'd have more time to spend with Barbara, because it was an election year, and I would have had to enter into the election contest, of course. And I simply decided that instead of doing that, I would spend the time with Barbara. Unfortunately, of course, she died before the end of that term. But it was the right time for me to retire. She gave me a gracious exit, and I have not regretted it one bit.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a joy to be with you.
Lindy Boggs' new memoir is called Washington Through a Purple Veil.